Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
It's not one size fits all, right? You communicate differently to a 25-year-old than you would to a 70-year-old, and we want both to be at the polls.
Yvette Alexander is with the Knight Foundation. 100 million people didn't vote in the last presidential election. The foundation commissioned a study to find out why and how to change it.
Many non-voters suffer from a lack of faith in our election system, and they have serious doubts about the impact of their vote.
Alexander shared the research at a virtual forum yesterday with the fanciful title, Reaching Hard-to-Reach Voters During a Pandemic. She was joined by researchers from the Brennan Center in Tufts and a former Kentucky Secretary of State. The study compared 18 to 24-year-olds and non-voters of all ages. It found young eligible citizens are less informed and less interested in politics. Abby Kisa from Tufts University's Civic Learning and Engagement Center prescribes more voter education, a lot more.
Not only to understand that their voice matters and someone is reaching out to them because of that, but also with basic information.
With all the recent changes to elections, delays, increased demand for absentee voting, outreach is even more important.
This is how people learn about an election and how they become part of a network that supports them and can often, for young people, turn into what we like to call political homes.
Kisa says expanded vote by mail brings new challenges.
In the 2012 and 2016 elections, we saw dramatic differences in which youth used vote by mail, and Black youth and youth of color from low-income communities were least likely to use it.
Young people fueled Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' campaign, and his name will still be on the ballot in New York's Democratic primary, which yesterday a court of appeals ruled must take place. But so far, and with Sanders' support, Biden has a wide-open path to the nomination. The so-called Veep stakes are ramping up. Law professor Renee Kanacki co-authored Shortlisted, a book about women who have been overlooked for the Supreme Court over time.
My hope for Biden is that his shortlisting of all women for the vice presidential slate will be what other shortlists look like for him in other positions of power in his cabinet and beyond, and that these won't just be token gestures, but a commitment to put more women into positions of leadership and power throughout the government if he's given the opportunity to do so.
Some of Biden's former competitors keep coming up, Senators Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Amy Klobuchar. Florida Representative Val Demings is gaining ground among a number of prominent Biden supporters, plus Democrats from other potential swing states like Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and former Georgia State House Minority Leader Stacey Abrams. Oregon's universal mail-in primary concluded smoothly yesterday. Biden and Trump both picked up delegates. And the Senate finally delivered a quorum to the Federal Election Commission, allowing the elections watchdog to do its job for the first time since last September by confirming conservative Republican Trey Traynor. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.